Fresh news, smart talk, quality. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
From what day you may find out, certain people not like me. Everyone got a spaghetti now. Makes through me, I do it like Nike. But me not fear no guy now. No matter how hard them are spite me, me just a go and do me thing now. Me just a do it like Nike. 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 Them want poison me, throw me thing up. Pass me and them girlfriend a link up.
Hello.
Dog, where you did that when they think tough? No food, clean water for drink up. Now me and the dog, them a link up. Big truck, 20 inch rim, just a spin up. The pioneer just a kicks up. And a hip hop or calypso.
Hello.
You can't see the star through the tint up. Plus me and the Cuban a link up. Rose gold so the Cuban link tough. How much ice just a hurr and me ring up.
Okay.
From what day you may find out, certain people don't like me. Everyone talk a smack a thing now. Bex throw me, I do it like Nike. But me not fear no guy now. No matter how hard them a spite me, me just a go and do me thing now. Me just a do it like Nike. 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 Me just a do it like Nike.
We're back at you on the Monday, March 4th edition of Talking Heads, your boy Naughty and your company, right up until 6 p.m. And as promised, in studio with me, I'm Mr. Cassius Stewart. We'll continue our conversation from Friday. All right, you know how to chime in here in New Providence, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Toll free in any one of the family islands, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. Text lines powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Stream us live. Take us wherever you want to go. GuardianTalkRadio.com. That's GuardianTalkRadio.com. Cable channel 969, BTC Flow channel 612. That's how you get it in. That's how you get it on for fresh new smart talk all day. Right here, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Hope you guys had a great weekend. And like I said, we had a great show on Friday. We're going to pick it up. On the flip side of the break, caller, I see you. We're going to take up the first break. And on the flip side of the break, we'll open up the lines, open up the text lines, continue the conversation with Mr. Stewart. And, of course, you know the lines will be open. So, caller, you can either hang on or you can call us right back after the break. But it's all going down right after this.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by BTC, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, Fine Threads, First Caribbean Bank, Foreign Currency, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Scotiabank, Sun Oil Limited, and Tropical Gyros.
The new KFC Nuggets have arrived! That unlike the no-gets, ours are handmade using 100% white meat, unlike the no-gets. At KFC, we hand bread every day to achieve the perfect flavor. After you try our delicious and crispy nuggets, in the original recipe, you'll never settle for less. KFC, the real nuggets. It's finger-licking good.
Play with Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Play with Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamian's voice guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them mother jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We can make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Talking Heads, the Monday, March 4th edition continues right now. Let's go to the phone lines, get this caller out of the way, because I know they've been waiting patiently. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Who's this?
Brother Naughty, how are you, sir?
Hey, what's going on, Prophet?
All is well. Mr. Stewart is there, right?
Yes, sir.
I am. How are you, sir?
I'm pretty good, sir. Brother Naughty, I have a subject matter. I don't know if this is on your agenda, but it's a very important one. I don't know. Can I?
Yeah, well, what you got? And I mean, if we can get it in, we got to revisit it another time, we will too.
Yes, I want to see if you and Mr. Stewart could help me with this. There's a security advisory that was released from Haiti, and I think they had some unrest in Haiti. And I think the advisory, all of the American planes are not flying into Haiti. The first concern is, is Bahamas Air our national flag? Are they following that advisory? One. Two, I know that we're going to be invaded by illegals from the south because many of them have family, and I believe some of them, they are still connected. But I think it's a major concern. Do we have the intelligence on the ground prepared for this?
Well,
or do we have the resources to handle this if anything should be?
All right, now
I'll hang up and listen to you all respond.
All right, no problem, Prophet. I think what you're referring to is the jailbreak in Haiti. And of course we did have a statement made by the Commodore of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, Dr. Raymond King. He said, reportedly armed gangs stormed the prison on Saturday, leading to a jailbreak. The gang stormed Haiti's capital, firing a gun near the airport, causing airlines to cancel all flights to the country. The gangs also overtook a police station. Now, King has also said, we're now taking steps to blockade the southern Bahamas. All right? So, obviously, we're going to do our due diligence. But as far as, in my opinion, sending anybody down there while we're extracting Bahamians who work in diplomatic capacities out of there, I don't think that's a wise move. But I do think the blockade of the southern Bahamas is definitely called for right now.
No, I agree. I agree. I think Bahamas has also suspended flights into Haiti. And I think blockading is something that we need to do. The challenge is how long can we sustain a blockade, one. And, I go back to the root causes. You know, whilst we deal with the symptoms of the matter, there's the root cause of the matter is CARICOM, along with the international community, wider international community, needs to find solution to fix Haiti. Now, we don't have the capacity to do it. We can't send 170 defense force officers to solve Haiti's problem. That ain't a week. And so we got to pressure the United States and the United Nations to find a better solution. The trouble is, the Haitians don't want them there because the last time they were there, a lot of bad things happened. And so the Haitians are saying, we don't want the UN here because, you know, allegedly a lot of the women were raped and so on and so on. And
there were atrocities.
And so they don't want them there. And so that's the problem. The problem is now Canada don't want to go on the ground. Kenya can't go because the Supreme Court of Kenya blocked them from going. And right now, nobody is going in. And so Haiti is in an all-out chaotic state. And the problem is, we could say, leave them there, but we could be the first wave when that tsunami hit us. So we got to find a solution to resolve a government on the ground of Haiti. We got to do that. And if we don't do that, we can always have this problem with them coming.
I think it's just going to continue to be a vicious cycle, like you said, until they get the diplomatic portion of Haiti rectified.
And the governmental portion, you need to set up a government now.
Yeah.
And then you need to be able to reinforce the police force, stabilize the army, and so on, dismantle the gangs. And so that cannot come from CARICOM alone. That cannot come from CARICOM. I know CARICOM has been voicing the concerns, but the international community needs to step up. The problem is, that's a black country, and nobody gives a damn about black people.
All right, let's go to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Who's this?
Hey, what's up, man? Marty by Nature.
Hey,
Nature.
What's going on, GNN? Everything good with you?
Yeah, everything is wonderful. Thank God for life, man, and to you, yes.
Boy, I know your eyes peeled diligently on this whole BPL scenario, hey.
Man, I even need a jacket for that. I just wait until stuff hit the fan, you see?
Man, because I know me and you talked about this a long time ago, eons ago. You was out way in front of this.
But yeah. But I called today to say this one more time to the Bahamian people. military Air Force, United States Air Force, me, Airman First Class. The reason why America, France, and all them in Canada and all them other people ain't moved the border with Haiti, even though there's a lot of ruckus, is because Haiti is entrenched in a civil war. That's Haitian fighting Haitian, like Castro, Cubans fighting Cubans. The known world outright can't get in that. That's like two brothers in the house fighting. Where you going from across the road, going to have to have two brothers. They can't do that. The only role Canada, America, Bahamas, and us could play in the Haiti situation is a peacekeeping force. That's the only way we could go down there and to be a scout out an area where the peacekeepers will be and some of the citizens walk around that way for security, they go that way. But to go put boots or them kind of things on the ground in Haiti would be an act of war against a sovereign Haitian nation. You cannot do that. That's the reason why you're wondering why America ain't gone in there yet. For that same reason, I am an ex-Air Force. I know about them kind of things. You understand me? So I don't know what else people need to know as to why nobody move. And we'd be stupid. We'd be stupid to set our forces down there in a combative rule. That would be an act of aggression. Now, the stupidest thing I heard today was when the man from Bahamas said, they all ain't going into Port of Prince. We're going into some the other part. How stupid could some... Maybe we find these people. Huh? That mean if I'm on Bay Street, I can't make my way to South Beach to jump on the plane to come? My Jesus, man, naughty.
I can't write it no funnier, man.
I serious, man, naughty, man. Where they come from?
But listen...
These people is, we got these houses and these... Listen, you can say we ain't kind of part of us. We kind of...
I being honest, I'm telling you, they ain't going to the hot spot. They're going to the next spot. Are they still flying?
They're going to the port where they can get out. Florida's most places can shut down all flights.
Yep.
If we still fly, what the hell? But we need to fire them tonight, not tomorrow.
Anyway, I can let Mr. Cassius do. I can answer on some of your comments because you put a lot of good stuff out there. Let's see what he got to say.
Yeah, he has a valid point. The United Nations and the U.S. was there on a peacekeeping mission the last time they were on the ground. And whilst they may have some instability, though, I think the governments or whoever is the de facto governments can ask for assistance with stabilizing Haiti, which means that they may get involved in engaging to quench any, I guess, uprising. And so Haiti's problem, like I said, they have a lot of problems, but not all their problem is always their problem. If you do a history on Haiti, you could see how much the United States has interfered in the destabilization of Haiti from 17-something when they invaded and so on. And so it was always an undertone of external country interfering in their affairs. Then they had a lot of bad leaders. You had the bad leaders who were just there taking money and so on. And so, they need to find among themselves a new generation of leadership that can really bring stability to Haiti. And so we got to pray for that, because if they don't find that, that's going to be a problem for us. And so the quicker they find that leader or that leadership, the better it is for the Bahamas, because, What strikes me, Naughty, is that we depend on these people to do a lot of work in the Bahamas, whether it's domestic construction and so on, right? These people build our homes so they can't build themselves a home. They clean our yard, but can't clean their yard. You find that interesting? And I said to myself, if you could do that in another man country, you could do that in your country. So all this labor you got, all this skilled labor you have in the Bahamas, you could take that in your country and build your country. But Haiti needs leadership. The leadership could say to the diaspora, listen, we need to build our country now. We're going forward. The problem is everybody got their hand in Haiti. When they had the earthquake and they raised $8 billion, remember that? Everybody gave all the money. Find out where the money gone, And so it's just everybody just seems to take advantage of them as a nation because of their chaotic state. But they need to find a leader among themselves to build and to move forward.
All right, I think the text has got a multitude of questions regarding BPL right now because it's lighting up. Good day, Nwadi and Cassius. What's going on with BPL? The government is half lying about the situation. Enlighten me. I know one of you all have the scoop.
Nwadi say you got the scoop.
I've been hearing things. I ain't say I got the scoop. You know me? I do my due diligence before I say I got a scoop, a file, or a receipt.
But let me explain something to you. When you know, there's a book by John Perkins called Confessions of an Economic Hitman.
Yep.
If you ever get a chance to read it, buy it, read it. It's Confessions of an Economic Hitman. It tells you how these countries, like the United States and others, would give loans to third world countries, knowing fully well that they aren't able to pay it back. And then what they do on the back end is they then force you to sell off your assets, like water and sewage, like Batelco, like BEC, to them so that they can make money on it. And so what you're seeing played is really textbook operations of an economic hitman. You know, dismantle the whole country of all of our state resources. We didn't sell off Batelco, water and sewage now. When you look at water and sewage, we have a water and sewage company, but we pay an American company to suck water from the sea and sell it back to us. I mean, so we kind of make some dumb decisions, but it almost as if, listen, I control you, I control your loan, and then if you don't do this, then this is what's going to happen. And that's the challenge for me every time you see these governments come around, I want to borrow another $500 million, $600 million. Always remember, Proverbs said, a borrower is a slave to the lender. And so whoever we owe, we are their slave as a nation. And that's why we got to reach to the point where we have austerity measures in our governments, where we stop all this wasted spending and try to balance our budget so that we can break the back of all this lending that we are doing, borrowing that we're doing, so that we can now free ourselves to make decisions. You know, there's no reason why Batelco is not profitable. No reason why. A state-owned company, the only one on the island, and it charge you whatever you want to be charged, and they aren't profitable. Batelco, water and sewage. Why water and sewage? Why we got to give subsidiaries to these companies when you're the only one selling this product, you're making hundreds of millions of dollars, but you're still unprofitable. I don't understand it. I still don't understand it to this day.
All right, Carly, you could hit us back, man. We was right about to go to you, and then boom, you too impatient. Hit us back, we'll get to you. All right, here's another one for you, Cal. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Who's this?
Hey, Nwadi, sorry, GNN calling back. And, one word when it comes to BPL, snake, okay? There's a big snake in the place. That's one word.
Is it a rattlesnake or a python or what kind of snake?
What kind of snake? Do you know specifically? Is it a grass snake? Is it a cobra?
A mamba?
That sounds like a snake with dead greedy. What could it be?
Anaconda.
He's talking about anaconda.
Exactly. Anaconda got wrapped around everything. Mm. Now, Haiti, I forget to mention that. Everybody's missing all the elephants in the room when it comes to Haiti. You know, we could put billions of dollars. We could put food like crazy, like we're going and trying to get into Gaza. We could do all of that, you know. We could even take some of them out of there. But you know what everybody continues to miss with Haiti? Haiti needs education. Along with all of them stuff we're giving them, we need to educate those people. That's the only way they can be able to get themselves out of that. Them children don't go to school. The big people don't go this way. They ain't know nothing about education, nothing. Why you think they trample it and messing up one another? They need education. Thanks for taking my call.
No worries, Gianna. You always got good stuff. How about this one, Cassius? Isn't that crazy that this is the same PLP administration who'd love to play the race card and roots pre-election and selling false narratives about Caucasians but turn around and selling BPL to the boogeyman?
Mm-hmm. Well,
allegedly, because they say they're not, but I mean...
You know, the thing about us as a people, because, you know, the PLP figured out, and particularly amongst black people, the Democrats have the same issue where they could call you a racist and then everybody turns against you once we name you. And so the PLP used to do that one time ago. It doesn't work anymore. I don't think it works anymore because we have a new generation of people who really don't care about all that. But I think what we need, though, is that we need leadership in the Bahamas. And I'm not just talking about a leader of a political party. I'm talking about a leader that can take us forward and crystallize a vision for the next 50, 30, 30, 40, 50 years for our children. How do we move from where we are now to the first to being number one in education? How do we move the Bahamas to becoming the best healthcare provider in the Bahamas? How do we transform the whole healthcare system? How do we transform that D that we have to an A? How do we become number one in the region in education? The smartest set of people in the Caribbean from the Bahamas. How do we become the cleanest country in the Bahamas? How do we become the most, I guess, the country with the most austerity measures? It's leadership. Leadership. Everything rides and falls on leadership. If this country succeeds tomorrow, it's because of leadership. But if it fails, it's also because of leadership. And so that's what we're missing. We're missing the fact that we see we are like that frog in the water, and the water's getting hotter, but we don't want to jump out.
No.
We're going to die.
We wake up. Anyway, tell your boy.
When I started politics, the national debt was about $2 to $3 billion. So around about $3 to $4 billion. You know what it is now? $12 billion. It's mushrooming now. The debt service ratio is 100.4% last year. 100.4%. And so we have financial issues. We have social issues. We have educational issues. We have a average. The education system is so bad that instead of fixing the system, we've dropped the floor. In other words, if you have a D, you pass. If you have an E, you pass. If you have an F, you pass. We get an LMNOP. And so we somehow don't understand that if we want the best, it has to come with a spirit and the leadership of excellence that has to be seamless throughout. We got to cut out corruption. We got to cut out corruption in our government. Whether you're the opposition or you're the government, this thing where a minister figure he can get a contract and get kickbacks, we got to stop that.
Yeah.
We cannot grow that way. And then another minority, we cannot grow a country where your success depends on a political body or a politician giving you something. That's the reason why.
That's a recipe for disaster.
The country is dying, you know.
Slowly and painfully.
We are dying because our success depends on them, and they determine what we eat and how we eat.
And how far we progress or how far we regress.
In a capitalistic society, that should never happen. Your success should be determined by your mental capacity or your intellectual capacity to generate wealth. You know how much smart people in Bahamas? Plenty smart people. But because we ain't yellow, they could figure they could cut you off. Because you're in red, they could figure you could cut you off. That has to come to an end. We have to build the Bahamas, no matter what your political subscription is. We got to build this country for every
first.
Bahamian.
Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Who's this?
Nazi, what's up? St. Petersburg. How y'all doing? Hey,
what's going on, St. Pete? What you got for us today, man?
Man,
Nazi,
I just leaving the meat dog. I had to drive down in the ghetto. Do you know they get the best meat in the ghetto? Hey, check this out. So what's the salary of a police officer in the Bahamas?
That's a good question. I got to research that.
You know, sometimes guys don't get paid much. That's what leads into corruption, you know what I'm saying? I think, you know, being a police officer and making like maybe $16,000, I don't really need no money to live in the Bahamas, you know what I'm saying? Or if they were making that much. I believe if, you know, they need to take care of the police, all government, especially teachers, man. They can't pay teachers enough, you know what I'm saying? So, well, you know, I want to know just what the police salary is, because you got police over here. I mean, rookie cops making $50,000, $60,000 a year, you know what I'm saying? That's just rookie cops, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I know you can't compare America to the Bahamas, but, you know, mm-hmm. It's so sad, the young man, to me, the people, they put all their hard work, people want to kill them, they can't do no right, and they make it, you know, they get to the little salary, you know what I'm saying? So, hey, check enough, man, Nolly, let me know what's up, man.
I got you, man.
Be safe,
Tampa. Be safe. We'll talk soon, St. Pete.
I mean, one point he made, you know, while I understand the fact that, you know, salaries are low, whether you're a police officer or a teacher in the Bahamas, because it's just the cost of living, you know, making wrong decisions has to do with your moral aptitude, not your financial aptitude. You know, you could be broke, but still not thief or commit crime. You mean 50 years ago, our parents wasn't rich. The Bahamas wasn't a rich country 50 years ago. And my grandmother had 16 children. They wasn't about robbing. They were trying to educate them. So they didn't have much. But they used what they had to build the Bahamas to what we have now. We figure now we need money in order to make the right decisions. No. See, education has to be built simultaneously with moral education. So those same kids in the school, we got to teach them morals. We got to teach them what is right, what is wrong, what is acceptable in a society, what is not acceptable. And so we got to instill the moral compass back in the country, back in these children, so that when they grow up, whether they have a dollar or $5 million, they know how to make the right decisions.
All right, I got several texts here, Cassius, so buckle up. Here we go. Naughty, the Haiti gang leaders already are in the Bahamas. You all are too late to the party. The police have already discovered a Haitian shantytown right behind the All Saints Bay shanty village, as well as a coal-producing operation. Wow. Mm. Naughty, I don't feel bad for the unions. They're too full. They were just having lunch with the PM and Minister Kobe, cheesing up with no end. Now they're scared. Don't be scared now. This is the PM and government you all campaigned for.
Mm.
Naughty, you have to look at it. This move with BLP, BPL is a great one. It's time to downsize that $110 million. What we gave BPL the other day will be utilized in paying out pension, and the new company will bring in new faces. This is good because these guys have been holding us hostage. BPL has us in $1 billion of debt, something with the civil sector. All we need now is a foreign company to run the government so they can clean house. boy, my taxes, boy, let me tell you, the biggie and best.
It's a foreign company to run the government. A good valid party.
Naughty, ask Cassius to tell your listeners about Operation Ozone, and should Bahamians get reparations from that situation?
Absolutely. A lot of people don't realize what the British government did. Winston Churchill, after having an operation within the United Kingdom, where they were spraying cadmium on their citizens and other chemicals. It was after the Second World War, and they were getting threats that Russia was going to use chemical weapons on Great Britain. So what Winston Churchill ordered was Operation Ozone to do the testing over the Bahamas. It's called Operation Nassau and Operation Ozone, where they tested cadmium and other chemicals
right on
the citizens to see how we would respond. See how it would respond if Russia did it to them.
So we were guinea pigs, basically.
Yeah, we were guinea pigs. And so what happened was, the reason why I found that information out was because under the Freedom of Information Act under Great Britain.
Right, you could find it.
The information was one lady, her family had this line of cancer, and she wondered why. And then she found out that they were doing cadmium testing and other testings in Canada.
Do you think that might be why our Bahamian women are more times prevalent to breast cancer than anything else?
That's one of the issues that I've been talking, because it doesn't affect...
Because it also makes my mind wonder, talking about testing, God knows what's going down at Ortec. No offense, but that's like the Area 51 of the Caribbean, so they say.
Yeah, so you had the British government testing live chemical weapons on the Bahamas, on Bahamians. So two generations later, we're seeing this heavy spike in cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer, killing of our country. Right now, we have perhaps one of the highest cancer rates
in the world. Correct.
In the world, right? And so we need to now, but I made the documents available for ministers. I talked to them about it, but nobody gives a damn, right? Sorry if I could use that word.
Yeah, I mean.
Nobody cares, right? But the thing about it is, we need to go to the United Nations and make an appeal to say, listen, you guys were testing live chemical weapons on Bahamians, and we need reparations. We have the highest cancer rate in the world right now. In addition to that, you know, there's also a report that after the Second World War, there were, in containers, nuclear waste dumped into Bahamian waters by the U.S. government. There's allegations. I've read stories on that on books. And so the question is, how long can these be contained? Are they leaking? What is causing this cancer? So they come tell me that, it's the food. I don't buy that garbage. Everybody eating food. It's the food. Why peas and rice and chicken and macaroni only killing us? Why ain't killing nobody else?
Right.
So don't give me that. I don't give me that. Then they say, oh, we related BRCA1, BRCA2 genes is because we genetically related. That's why. I don't buy that either. Because this is a rampant disease that is killing our nation.
Well, you know, when it comes to that, and in present day form with the chemtrails and everything, there's always stories. There's always, you know, ulterior motives.
Look at Elutra. Elutra has one of the highest concentration of cancer in the Bahamas, right? Find out why. You know, they said during the Cuban missile crisis, there was allegedly a lot of missiles being pumped there, or the base there, and they had to move them out. But now the radiation, you understand? And so this is what we're dealing with.
A lot of leftovers.
A lot of leftovers, But we don't have responsible government to say, let's get to the bottom of this.
And get reparations. Yeah, let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Who's this?
Hey, good evening, Naughty.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Yeah, my brother, I you hitting on all the cylinders.
Thank you, sir.
All the cylinders, my brother.
Yes, sir.
I would take up this one in terms of medical facilities, the hospital, for instance. We are now embarking on an initiative to build what they call a special hospital. So guess what? You have people literally dying every day because of the lack of medical facilities. And what is so embarrassing is that the United States Embassy started about a year after COVID. And they are being completed. As a matter of fact, it's finished, literally. Yes, all they're doing is some tidying up on the outside for the walks around and all that. But we have a hospital that's been in transit now for 5 years. He said the objective was to make the hospital a better place until we can get a new hospital. And you have the Minister of Health who have been missing.
Totally missing.
Absolutely.
And you don't go to work.
And he's now saying that we are now building a special hospital. And you're not even complete the facility to maintain the dignity of health of your citizen. You're trying to say you're entering into an agreement with China for some $300 million to build a special hospital. And look at the location. You understand? So everything you say, I agree with you. Lack of political leadership, lack of spiritual leadership from the Christian Council. And every facet of society is a lack of leadership. So there's a country in crisis. I'm serious. Real crisis, my brother.
Naughty, I went to the Diabetic Association the other day, and I asked them how many people are diagnosed with diabetes in the Bahamas. You know what they tell me? 155,000 and counting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is?
It's crazy numbers.
40% of the
40%,
nation.
I was just going to say.
But guess what is the number one killer of Bahamians? Hypertension, high blood pressure. That's probably 60 to 70% of the country.
Yeah.
And then cancer on top of that. You know? And so basically, at the rate we're going, all things being equal, in 50 years, most of the Bahamians will be dead. So it's sad to say.
It's very, yeah.
So, I mean, see, if you get, if 40% of your country get diabetes, and but 60 get hypertension, and the rest get cancer.
Walking time bomb.
You understand?
You're dying.
And so the whole country is sick, whilst our political leaders just, they living in a bubble.
Catching a flight.
We got to fix the health of our nation. And so we got facilities, mind you. We got Coconut Grove and the rest of them, a lot of the clinics. We got the buildings. They closed down. They're not operating. They're not staffed properly. And so we got to make sure that whatever we deliver to the Bahamian people are the best. So when we're delivering healthcare services, we deliver the best. So we got to make sure our nurses are trained and retrained in personal skills so that they can deliver the best service. The doctors, the same way. The anesthesiologists, the porters. Everybody plays a role in making sure that we can deliver the best possible healthcare to Bahamians. But we don't do that. We fall down. And so we become lax. And so as the leader, as the minister of health, he has a responsibility to make sure that the product that we're giving to the Bahamian people is the best.
All right, we got the phone lines blowing up now. Let's make these calls quick callers, all right, because we got about 10 or 12 minutes left. We want to get all of you guys in, plus I got some text. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Who's this?
Brayman here. Godly day to stock you, no voice.
Hey, Brayman, what's good, man? What you got for me? Make it quick for me. Let's go.
Okay, what I want to say, right, a couple of things. One is, right? Like everybody said, not everybody, but a lot of people, this is my main reason for me calling. We really need leaders, good leaders, leaders that cares for the Bahamian people. Other thing is, right, our people should only eat twice a day in the morning and in the evening because of this hypertension. You see what I'm saying? It cut down on the salt and the grease. You see what I'm saying, Lottie?
I wish you, Raymond.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Let's get to the other calls. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Who's this?
Boy, look here. GA man, three strikes in the air because you're a caller before, Brayman. He had a sore point with me with the hospital, right? Naughty, I was going to wait until I get the photograph evidence. I shoot photographs. but I couldn't get it today because the person was showing me their photograph and their phone of higher-ups in the hospital, Naughty, and this nation. Like Cassius said, the Undertaker's live ran out their wards, carrying dead people because of filth and germs and all that stuff. You know what I saw this morning, Naughty? I almost died myself. The garbage bin full of feces would leak out the roof.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Listen, I ain't talking about
that's no another show for another day, GNM, but get it together so we can address it. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Who's this?
Hey, Naughty Jeff here. Let me make my commentary very quick here. You know, you talk about leaders. We don't need just but leaders. We need visionary leaders. I don't think any leader has been visionary since Lyndon Oscar Pinlin, to be truthful. You know, and then secondly, perhaps maybe if these MPs and these politicians and leaders were forced to use PMH and our facilities, perhaps they would just be upgraded because, you see, they have the luxury of flying out of this country in their jurisdiction. And even though you would say, well, that's their choice, the thing is, some of we here don't have a choice. We have to use these facilities because we just can't afford to fly out of this country and go to other facilities. So perhaps maybe if we make it a mandate that they lead by example and use these facilities prior to flying out, perhaps we may get an improved health system in this country. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Jeff. Good stuff as always. Let's get to the last call. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Who's this?
Yeah, this is C. Allen Johnson, Critical Thinker.
Hey,
Naughty.
What's going on, C. Allen?
I recommend everybody to go to Google and search for Plato's, P-L-A-T-O, Allegory of the Cave.
Simile of the Cave. See where we, it's called a Simile of the Cave. Really good, really good.
Yeah, so, but here's the thing, right? I just quickly on BPL, there's a whole lot of things to do. You know, I've been telling people for almost a decade that BPL is a Ponzi scheme, worse than those other things. Let me give you an example. We spend $360 million a year on fuel. The government generates three times the power of that, $1.something billion. They collect 10% VAT on that. Then they lend it back to BPL to borrow $360 billion, and then they generate the VAT, and it's going back. And meanwhile, the debt keep compounding with BPL. BPL has a legacy debt, probably $2 to $3 billion. And it doesn't include just the outside legacy debt. What they don't tell you is that you need about $2 billion to bring the infrastructure on New Providence alone into the 21st century. And so the problem is that we're not having conversations on how to reduce consumption and an actual strategy for the 21st century. We're in an environment of IoT, artificial intelligence, fintech, all of these different things. All depends on technology. Technology is 92% energy. And so unless we actually have real conversation about the future, now I tell people all the time, I don't talk about the future. I live here. I'm trying to reach into the past to drag those who are willing here. And so until we actually have real conversation rather than this patch and paste type environment of this dialogue that we're always having, I think, I feel, I believe, I heard, I was told. We have to now move into conversation of what you know. And there's competent leader in this, competent leadership in this country that can actually lead us there. If only we could get the midgets with the megaphones off the podium. Thank you so much.
Boom. There you go, Z. Allen. All right.
Wow.
See, I'm always spitting fire. All right, I got a couple of texts for you, and then I'm going to let you wrap up there, Cassius. Naughty, doesn't the government not own 49% of BTC? Why do people keep saying the government sold BTC? Well, you know, if you want to jump on me for semantic, didn't they sell 51% of BTC prior? So that's a majority share being sold, right? Okay.
I mean, but, you know, BTC was generating so much money. BTC had presence. I mean, right now when you pass the headquarters of BTC, they're just trying to refurbish it. But, you know, the new company seemed to didn't really do anything with BPL, BTC. And the government, who is also a shareholder, did not do anything. I mean, we allowed BTC to deteriorate. We allowed the product to deteriorate.
Yeah.
And just like we allowed ZNS to deteriorate, we allowed everything to deteriorate. And that is a sign of leadership. If it fails, it's leadership. If it succeeds,
it's leadership.
See, if it succeeds, everybody want the credit. But when it fails, everybody
passing the buck.
That's them on. But no. You as a leader. If it fails, that's you. And so we got to make sure that the little bit of state-owned enterprise that we have left to see how best we can preserve them, because they're supposed to be cash cows for the country.
Exactly.
But what happens is they're going to be cash cow for somebody else, because those who now buy them out will then turn them around and then make hundreds of millions of dollars. You're the only one selling power in the country. Why you can't earn a profit? Why? Why you can't get it right?
I got one for you, Cassius. Good afternoon, Naughty. What are the staff and Ministry of Works doing if contracts are given to political supporters to do the work Ministry of Works staff was hired to do? By the way, look at NASA and tell me that the work is being done. I would like to hear Mr. Stewart's take on this.
He's right. Like I said, we started the show talking about that. You know, the failure of the Bahamas is because we're too tied to a political party. The political parties have to appease certain people, and in appeasing them, they give them jobs usurping the jobs of somebody else. You cannot do that. We have to allow and stop this political interference into the success or the well-being of people. You should not only eat because of political party. The problem with Bahamians is that, you know, a lot of us want opportunities, but we don't want to go there and do what we need to take to make opportunities. Like I told somebody today, money is like a beautiful woman. If you're sitting there doing nothing, you ain't going to never find it. You got to go there and woo her. You got to go there and work, and you got to prepare yourself. The people who are rich are those who are there who hustle and who move in. If you ain't doing nothing, ain't no money coming to you. So there's a lot of people who just want to sit down and do nothing. Money ain't going to never come to you. Money don't come to people who ain't moving. And that's the mystery of money. So you need to understand the relationship of money, and buy my book, the relationship of money, because if you want money, you got to be moving. If you want a beautiful woman, you got to be moving. They don't come to you just by sitting down.
Naughty, all government departments need to stop outsourcing. That's a good point right there. Here's another one. Naughty, austerity measures is the wrong course of action that Cassius is espousing. Austerity measures are only affects the poor and middle class people. The rich and well-connected are not. They will prosper more during austerity measures. This has happened all over the world where it has been implemented.
So hold on. I'll pause right there. Let's pause right there. So if we keep spending, right, who does it affect? If we spend our way to the point where it breaks the camel back and the whole country collapses, who does it affect? And so we got to be very careful. You say austerity measures only affects the poor, and you may have a valid point. But if you're overspending to the point where we cannot sustain the debt, let me remind you, 97% of this present budget, 97%, is going towards paying the interest payment of the loan and salaries. You hear me? Salaries of the government and interest payment, not the loan, interest payment, 97% of the budget. So if we keep spending, what's going to happen to the country? Everything is going to collapse. And so if we don't put ourselves in a position where we might be mindful of what we're spending and put austerity measures in place, we will have no country. Everybody will be poor, if that's what you want.
Naughty, good afternoon. Based on what's been going on in this present administration, I refuse to believe anything they say. From the PM to Anton, they have proved to this country they are about any and everything. So we will never know what's going on in BPL until we vote them out. Look at Anton. He said he was going to call your show today to talk to Mr. Stewart in depth. Not happening. That was a lie. Wow. All right, man. Cassius, I appreciate you, man.
Yes.
We got to get to the news, and I appreciate you coming in and following up from what we started on Friday. And we got to do it again before the end of March, and we'll line up something for April, because obviously the folks want to hear from you. It's been another, you know, well-received show today.
Well, absolutely.
And I appreciate you being so candid on so many topics. I think that works for a lot of people, too, to get a more in-depth, you know, feel about what's really going on with you. And obviously, they're interested, so we got to do it again, man. I greatly appreciate it, man.
Just call at me when you want me.
All right, and you know I shall.
All right.
Be safe. Enjoy the rest of your week, man. We'll talk soon. We'll take a quick break. Good stuff, everybody, in the first hour. Texts and calls. Take a quick break in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll be talking sports. Pearlie will be in the building. And we'll be talking NBA and a lot of other things. We're in March, so you know. NCAA March Madness coming up. Lots to talk about. Keep it right where you got it.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
We're back at you on the Monday, March 4th edition of Talking Heads. And don't forget a little FYI for you. You know, we got KFC got big things popping, the six-piece value deal. 6 pieces of chicken, 3 individual fries, 3 biscuits, $20, VAT included. You can't beat that. Available for you at your favorite KFC Nassau location. New arrivals in stock at all Fine Thread locations. Be sure to check them out online, finethreads.com. Same thing with John's Shoes, new arrivals for the ladies. And, of course, wide selection of shoes for men, women, and children, casual, formal, athletic. Don't forget they have John's Fast Fashion, John's Workwear, Chef Works as well, and small home appliances and cookware at both John's locations, John's Plaza Carmichael and the flagship store over there on Rosetta. Open for you at 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. All right, a little FYI for you. I like to keep you in the know, get you where you want to go. And don't forget Joker's Wild, great show over there, Tuesday through Sunday. Doors open at 8:15. Showtime is 9 p.m. sharp. 2 for $1 on all locals. All right? Yeah, man. So definitely come on out and check it out. All right? Headliner Will Clifton, feature comedian Dominic Leonelli, and yours truly, funny show from start to finish, and a lot of variety in this one, people. Trust me. Yes. All right. We got Pearly zoomed in yet?
Right in, my brother.
What's going on, my bro? Everything cool?
Where am I just complaining?
Well, you know, ain't nobody listening. I'm still listening to anyone talk your business. But Dodgers play today?
Sorry?
Dodgers play today?
No. Off today. Play tomorrow.
Is Ohtani hitting tomorrow or is he eating sushi? Man,
he is eating sushi today. He hit all day yesterday. He probably hit again tomorrow.
All right. Well, let's check out Today in Sports History. All brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's. And, don't forget Happy Hour every Wednesday and Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. over there at Naughty Johnny. So be sure to check them out on that. And on this day, March 4th in sports history, 1913, the New York Yankees traveled to Bermuda for spring practice. They were the first team to leave the U.S. to train. 1930, Emma Fanning became the first woman bowler to make a perfect score in competition sanctioned by the Women's International Bowling Congress. 1970, the New York Rangers set an NHL record of 126 games without being shut out. 1981, Guy Lafleur of the Montreal Canadiens scored his 1,000th career point. 1993, ESPN formed the V Foundation with Jim Valvano. Also in 1993 in New York, the first ESPY Awards were held. And the sports quote of the day, winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-time thing. You don't win once in a while. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. Vince Lombardi.
Nice, pick it up, man.
Pretty deep quote right there. All right, let's check out the local sports scene. All brought to you, of course, by Burger King Nassau. And be sure to check out BK, man. All right, it's all about the Texas Double Whopper. All right, and they got the plant-based variety as well, too. So don't forget on that, all my plant-based lovers. But yeah, that Texas Double Whopper off the chain. Get it with your fries. Get it with your Coke. It's fully loaded. Double Whopper with cheese, lettuce, tomato, pickles, onions, bacon. It is off the chain. All right? It's all G-double-O-D good. Got that Texas sauce as well, so be sure to check that out today at your favorite Burger King Nassau. Now, let's check out the local sports scene. And I tell you, had a busy weekend. A lot of baseball being played, a lot of tennis being played.
Goal.
And then, of course, world record.
Yeah.
Break your own world record.
Soccer?
You think that idiot TikToker, YouTuber who said there were nobody realizes who Miss Devin Charlton really is right now?
Guess what? If you didn't know that, you know now.
If you don't know now, you don't. If you don't know, you better ask somebody.
Hey, let's go ask the IAAF. They'll tell you.
Charlton wins world record title in world record. Taylor finishes sixth in the finals. Mullings fourth in men's heptathlon. But Devin Charlton of the Bahamas poses after winning the gold medal in today's Guardian. You can see it. 60-meter hurdles final during the World Athletics Indoor Championships in Glasgow, Scotland on Sunday. She has to be one of the favorites for the hurdles in the Olympics.
Yeah, but you know, I love to listen to the British. Oh, she's humble. She's quiet kept, but she's brilliant. It's like, yeah.
Because she got purple hair, of course.
You know, it's a way to go, girlfriend. You know,
don't do that no more, Pearly. Never again on this show. Thank you.
But just that you know, and just that you didn't hear me the last time, I gotta say it. Soccers, you know. Okay, there you go.
All right, and like I said, the boys came out on top. We told you that on Friday in the U.S. Davis Cup. portion of the North Central American and Caribbean pre-qualifying tournament. Our girls ended up in fourth, but that's still not a bad showing. So congratulations to them as well. Glad to see, you know,
we got a lot
of talent in the pipeline. And that's pretty much a wrap on the local scene right there. Well, you know,
yeah, what it, we got those. Remember, I talked about them Friday. We got Caitlin Pratt and the under 14
correct
tennis players in El Salvador. I was hoping to see something in the papers this morning. I guess we'll see something tomorrow.
Correct. We got to keep an eye out for that, though.
Yeah.
Because that's good. We always gotta make sure you get as many of these young athletes highlighted.
She's a kid from Grand Bahama, so I told her I'd be looking out for her.
All right. So now we got to go international, Pearly.
Oh, yeah.
All brought to you, of course, by Tropical Gyros. And I know you had Tropical Gyros today. They got the chef coming in the crew.
I just had the pork salad off the chip. And you know what? So, right? We came on just as I was eating the last piece. It was really good as usual. It was really good.
Well, one of the worst kept secrets has come down. Russell Wilson has been cut from the Denver Broncos. It's going to be official once the league year begins.
But it's interesting to see that he's going to be, he gets $39 million this year, no matter if he plays or not.
I think that's a good way to help you retire, to tell you the truth.
Real talk. And then next year, the cap hit that the Broncos are going to take next year is $49 million.
They really wanted him out of there.
Wow, when I saw that, I was like, oh, gracious goodness me.
Speaking of out of there, Jason Kelce retires from the NFL. It's official now.
Very emotional press conference earlier today.
Yeah, but he's won a Super Bowl, so that's good. A lot of people forget that they think out of the Kelce brothers, oh, it's only Travis who won. No, Travis has more Super Bowls. He's beaten his brother in the Super Bowl, but don't forget, Jason Kelce was part of that Eagles team with Nick Foles that punched Brady and them in the mouth in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, 2018. Yeah, yeah. I actually saw it. I was there.
But he probably goes down as, if not number one, at least a top three center in
Oh, yes. For sure. In the conversation. Mike Evans is going to stay with the Bucs.
I like that.
Two-year, $52 million contract. A hell of a free agency, so they kept him there.
Yep, that's a good move.
But now that brings the talks to Kansas City, because they had that was their number one guy in free agency. So now I'm hearing they may be looking to explore a trade for Justin Jefferson with the Minnesota Vikings.
I heard that.
Or Davante Adams with the Las Vegas Raiders.
I don't know if Davante is happy there, the Raiders. That may be more of a realistic avenue. But also, after this weekend, you had a couple of wide receivers whose stock really flew up at the combines.
How you mean?
And they made the kid ran a 4.22. He ran a 4.25 and came back and ran a 4.22. So, and for those who don't know, that's like blazing speed. That's faster than Tyreek Hill. That's what you know. All right. But that's and his stock went up into, say, he could possibly be a first rounder. He can be a late first rounder to the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's true too. And you know, Kansas City is not afraid to trade up if they need to.
Yes, exactly.
Now I'm looking at some rumblings out of Dallas, and it looks like Tyron Smith, after a long run in Dallas, one of my favorite Cowboys, is going to actually test the free agent market.
I knew that was coming. I think I told you that, but I knew that was coming.
Yeah, I think he's going to find elsewhere on the market without as many incentive-laden tied to the contracts as Dallas would put in there.
Well, I think Dallas also hoped that after he tests the market, if he's not happy, he may come back home. Is that what it is?
That is a possibility, too. That is a possibility, too.
Because I know the Dolphins allowing Robert Hunt, the right guard, to test the market, and they're going to allow Xavier Howard to test the market, but leaving the door open for them to consider coming back when they realize if they don't get the kind of money they want.
Yep. I think another free agent rumbling rumor is the Cowboys seen as a perfect landing spot for free agent linebacker Jordan Brooks from the Seahawks.
Okay.
No decision on Michael Gallup. I thought we might have cut him, but we need to let him go. It depends on
when is the best cut for him. Is it March 13 or June 1st?
I think that's what's coming. I think there's more posturing going on, too. Here's three draft prospects that could replace Tyron Smith, by the way, for any Cowboy fans listening. They were high on the O-line. You know they've done it before. You know, take draft after draft, building an offensive line. This year, the top three that could replace Tyron Smith, Amarius Mims from Georgia. Huge individual, 6'7", 340, with an 86.75 wingspan and 11.25 inch hands.
Wow. Wow.
That's a big boy.
But you know something? I understand that the offensive linemen were very athletic and very fast at the combines. A lot of them did really well.
Yes, indeed. For this kid, to look at his frame.
300 pounders.
And they say he's extremely athletic. He's very young.
If I remember correctly, I think he ran a 5.1 or almost a 5 flat. A couple of them been there. I'm not sure. It might be him.
Yeah, it is him. And then there's another one on that list, Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
6'8", with an 82-inch wingspan. He's massive. And Dallas has visited with both of these guys. Correct. 360.
Yeah.
And the third one is Jordan Morgan of Arizona.
Okay.
And he's another massive guy, 6'5", and 311.
Okay, I don't remember.
And they say he's the most polished and NFL-ready between any of the three.
He's probably the more athletic one. I'm going to read up on him.
So those are three options right there for the Cowboys if we do go away from Tyron Smith. Prescott, a brand new dad, is by the way, as well, and that's my wrap up there. Dak Prescott is a new dad, by the way, too.
Okay, we have more incentive. I kind of give up on worrying what the Dolphins are going to do because one minute I hear me going defensive lineman, then I hear me going offensive lineman. Now I hear me may even go wide receiver. I'm like, what? You know what? Let me just make.
You have to go wide, potentially think wide receiver because that coach of yours is greedy. Can you imagine the kid from Florida State with Waddle and with Tyreek Hill?
I could imagine that because that's the name that keeps coming up. Oh, my goodness.
And he is giddy enough to run an offense with all three of them in it.
And it might make sense to do it considering that the Dolphins defense is going to have three of their key, two, maybe three if they sign him, other players out early in the season. You're going to have a weakened down to some degree, weakened down defense. They may want to pile up the points, may want to be like when Marino is there.
Just 50 points. Put up 50, let up 37, and score 43. You never know.
And, you know, it's going to be a lot different. And if those who can expect the Dolphins to do the same things they did last year in offense, no, he changes it every year. It'll be something different and something dynamic for next year. So it may make sense to go for that speedy guy out of Florida State.
It just may very well be the best move right there.
Well, let's see what happens.
Listen, if you go that route, you got your running backs. I mean, you got everything else. You might as well be.
There's also talk about going about Derrick Henry is on the short list. The Dolphins on his short list.
Say what?
Yeah.
I mean, Cowboys on that short list as well, too.
Yeah, Cowboys, Dolphins, and another. I can't remember what other team I heard. But, I mean, I'm like, why? They talk about because Jeff Wilson, they may have to cut Jeff Wilson to save some salary money. So it may make sense.
Oh, if you cut Jeff Wilson, then that makes sense. It is correct.
You know, and Mostert will still remain the primary running back, and then Derrick Henry will be the short game and goal line running back.
Yeah, but you know, you look at him, he gets more of a burn in Dallas and a couple other teams too. So that might be.
I doubt that seriously happens in Miami. So I'm not even worrying about it
now. Here comes the rumor now that Russell Wilson is going to be let go. How fast does he become a Pittsburgh Steeler? I'm thinking that might be the move for them.
I like that move for them. I really think he'll do well at Pittsburgh. Tomlinson is more like his old coach. They got some weapons there. They got a good wide receiver. And I think they got a pretty decent tight end. I like that move for him. I like him either in Las Vegas or in Pittsburgh.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio. All right, call us back, caller.
I'll tell you one thing, though. I see the new NCAA polls are out. Houston is number one. UConn number two. Purdue number three. Tennessee number four. Arizona number five. Iowa State.
I can't put no faith in none of that right now, Pearly.
I know. North Carolina, number 7. Marquette, number 8. Duke, number 9. Creighton, number 10. You can't put... Look, Baylor was 20-something last week. They're 11. Kansas was top 3. Kansas dropped to 14.
All the way to 14?
They not in 1 week. They steadily was dropping. They've been losing. But there's so many unranked teams beating top 10 and ranked teams. There's so much parity in NCAA this year. Outside of Houston and maybe UConn, I can't see. Well, let me put it this way. I believe Houston, UConn, and Purdue could be the final four. Other than that, I don't see who else. And I'm not too sold on Purdue. Houston and UConn, yeah. UConn, pretty much for sure. But Houston and UConn, I think they'll make the final four. But other than that, it could be anybody else, including North Carolina.
Yeah, I think North Carolina's a dark horse this year, man.
They're starting to play. They're starting to play better ball, and they're starting to probably peak at the right time. So let's see. I think the tournament's this weekend. I think all the tournaments start Thursday.
Yep. Now I'm hearing a dark horse landing spot for Russell Wilson, possibly the Patriots.
I heard that as well. And that wouldn't be a bad move for him. I mean, you know, he's just getting mashed up by the Dolphins, but that wouldn't be a bad move.
Oh, boy, look at Dexter. Dexter, you can live long, you know, Dexter. Dexter, you can live long, because guess what? You just took my next talking point right off the tip of my tongue. Because I was just about to ask Pearlie, have you seen the Jason Whitlock hour-and-a-half video alleging that LeBron has been taking steroids and performance-enhancing and drugs for a long period of time?
I have not watched it.
And Kevin Garnett has kind of come out and made some comments. Now, here's my take on it, Texter. Jason Whitlock wouldn't put anything out that way if he didn't have backup, meaning he hasn't done his due diligence or he ain't got some receipts or files to drop. You know he's in the market for breaking stories. He doesn't care who he affects. So, and the fact that NBC, ABC, CBS, ESPN, none of the major networks have touched this story.
Pearlie,
you've been in the business a long time. You know, two things happen when something go. Either you get in front of it or you deny it. And you just ignore it. Not like, hey, not deny, just ignore it. Don't respond to it. So I'm wondering.
Nobody's saying anything.
And if you think back to his history in Miami, his name was on a list, in the Balco list. And then it was, you know, extricated. But also, you had people from Clutch Sports, one of his business managers and close personal friends, and including his wife, receiving packages from said company. So there is a huge gray area around there. I am waiting patiently to see what comes of this, because you already know my stance on this. If it is true, right? You got to get the Barnes McGuire Sosa treatment. You got to get an asterisk put next to everything you done did.
Well, let's wait and see what happens. I wouldn't get into the conspiracy theory about it until I see something more tangible.
Yeah, well, just allow me. You told me I wouldn't be able to talk my 49er talk, right? And you see, it was right on point, right?
What I'm more concerned about is how AD cannot, the Joker, oh, man. God.
Man, listen here. Denver is the Lakers' daddy, okay? They beat them on opening night. No. Joker, they beat them on Kobe's statue night. They beat them on LeBron's breaking the record night. And now they beat them on LeBron last night without some other record, what he said.
Listen to me carefully.
Joker, about 40,000.
Joker has eaten 80 for breakfast every time. AD was 17 points. Joker, 35 points. D-Lo scored 4 points in the
second half. Joker does naturally kill punks, man.
That loss, you know, that one, I mean, I hate I can say this, but that loss is not on LeBron. That loss on AD.
Well, Pearlie, it starts the stretch that I mentioned to you, though.
And that loss starts on AD. No, but listen, you cannot say that you're running for a championship, and you can't come there and be home, have a big night, a big celebration night, and let Joker eat you for breakfast, no, man. Either you scared of Joker, or you just jealous and mean to play bad.
Well, I tell you what, that was a 6-game stretch that was starting with Denver. They now have the Thunder, the Kings, the Bucks, the Timberwolves, and the Kings. And they have 1, 2, 3, 4 of those games at home, one of them on the road. But they also got to travel to the Bucks later on in the month. So
they had a game that they could, the game that I have them in the loss column for. They had an opportunity to win it, and they should have won that game if AD just did his game. Vedi, let's play this normal game and give me 28 points for me to win the game.
Yeah. So now you got to take on Thunder, a hot team, a young team who's playing
and
well.
And the Thunder harder than fire, harder than the sun right now. So
and our boy Chad was get bust up in the back of banana yellow cab here before the draft, right here, you know. Our boy drunken Chad Holmgren carrying on bot.
Yeah, except when he plays San Antonio and Wemby eat him up.
They can give Wemby rookie of the year regardless. Check it out. Sterling starts all year and killed Wemby. They wasn't giving a damn.
No, but Wemby is now becoming a talker with somebody else who was the front runner. Not him. There's another player.
Yeah, but I'm telling you now, Wemby over the last couple of months, he's been playing stupid ball.
He's been earning it. If he gets to the if he continues on the path, yes, he's earned it.
Well, I tell you, they got the Thunder today, the Kings on Wednesday, the Bucks on Friday. They could be looking at a four-game losing streak by the weekend.
No, they could be looking at they could go 2-2, or they.
And
could
Sunday they got and they got Sunday they got the Timberwolves. They could be looking at losing five straight.
Timberwolves, I think, starting to crack.
We'll see.
They haven't looked at the last few games.
We'll see. So we'll keep an eye on it and see where it goes. But nonetheless,
you know, I'm so happy baseball is starting. I've given up on my, and, you know, and listen, somebody said this, you know, people said, let me explain something to the listeners out there, because I'm a real Laker. I've been a Laker from the year 19.
You used to entertain that text day who's coming and talk about being real Lakers, but I don't even entertain him.
No, but I just want to know, I've been a Laker now for 52 years. Not 52 plus.
Anybody who's so adamant on checking people on their Laker credentials supporting LeBron is a huge Bronsexual. And that's where I stop entertaining the conversation.
I want them to know I'm a Jerry West, Will Chamberlain Laker. Let's get that in your head. Jerry West, Will Chamberlain Laker.
Well, I'm a little bit after you. I'm a Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Mike McGee, Bob McAdoo, Mark Landsberger, Sven Nader, Chuck Nevitt, Byron Scott, Michael Cooper, kind of Laker.
That was my second tier Lakers.
I did all right off the top of my head, right, Kermit?
Yes.
I call all right. And then if you want to go after that, we had Sweet Bells coming there. We had Billy Thompson as a rookie. Don't forget AC Green, Mr. Jerry AC Green.
Oh my God! Did you know what his claim to fame was?
He's still a virgin.
Nah, I don't believe that, man. I think he got kids now.
Thank God.
Mitch, you know, is an amazing thing for an NBA player to be considering some of the stories that I heard. Like Magic Johnson wrote in his book, like he would have 30, 40 women in the lobby, the hotel waiting on him.
Will Chamberlain said he should have been 20,000.
And Magic said over 2,000. So that's a lot.
That's mucho.
So him, and knowing that the women throwing themselves, and no disrespect, are throwing themselves at you, and he's been able to hold his head and be mean and hold that Christian faith, that's admirable.
Wow, Josh Donaldson says he's retiring, Pearly. After 13 seasons.
Okay. And you're going to start seeing some more of that.
Former AL MVP, 2015 AL MVP, he's retiring.
Yeah. I don't think anybody picked him up. Nobody would grab him up. And he's been fighting some injuries, too.
Now,
there was an interesting story today. You know, Snell, the ace from the Padres, nobody's picked him up yet.
I hear the Yankees trying to do it quietly under the radar.
Yeah, but then Yankees trying to do it quietly under the radar. And when the Yankees turn the back, you know, that's when you go home to go get something to drink. You got to pick up the next fellow. But the Dodgers been there talking to him, I hear.
Y'all are just obscene right now, you know. Disgustingly obscene.
They're saying,
yes, Dexter. Kurt Rhombus. I can't forget Kurt Rhombus. Yes, Dexter. Yes. And Mitch Kupchak. Yeah. If you're talking white boys too, yeah, Mitch Kupchak too, man.
God, Clark Kent. But
Sorry about that.
No, it's funny. They're saying that considering that Otani won't pitch till next year, Yatamoto is basically a rookie, hasn't pitched over 120 innings. Paxton hasn't pitched a lot of innings, and Yarbrough and Glasgow hasn't picked over 120 innings. That they may want to take Snell on for a 2-year deal, and then you know put Paxton as a long reliever, and have him there until Otani comes back as a pitcher. But it's only happens. He probably end up. The Giants want him too, so I think the Dodgers may go after him just to stop the Giants from getting him.
They may
to drive the price up for the Giants.
Possibly. All right, let me check a couple of these texts that we got here, Purdy. All right, let me see now. Naughty, you out here spreading rumors about the LeBron taking drugs? You sound like you still mad because of those. Listen, I'm mad because the Cowboys didn't make the finals. I used to that. I used to that. You know, I've been mad since LeBron brought his Rudy Poo candy, you know what, to L.A. And then I got to entertain foolishness from bronze sexuals like y'all defending it. I'm not spreading rumors. I'm only reporting on the stories that have broken and following these allegations to see if there's any truth to these rumors. And if there are, I can pour salt in all your kind of wounds. All your bronze sexuals can have Mortons. Call me the Morton man after that.
But people like this want to know, Naughty's quietly hoping it is true, so he can't do that.
And guess what? I was quietly hoping it came through with the 40 out for me.
Okay.
And now I hear they got that hangover in 49er land.
And what's going on there?
Yeah, I hear a lot of disgruntled people in the locker room. They got issues with the coach.
I heard that story, but he ain't going nowhere.
No, he ain't going nowhere. He ain't going nowhere at all. But at the end of the day, all right, Jazz playing tomorrow. Hey, Jazz playing today at 6:40, by the way.
Oh, Chisholm?
Yeah, against the Yankees.
He's in the lineup or the Yankees? They playing the Yankees?
Yeah. You know he's in the lineup today, boy.
You never know. Let me check.
He's in the lineup today at 6:40. They playing.
Okay. That's cool.
All right, Purdy. Well, we got the final 13 today with Rich Eisen, and it's a good one. The top five rumors coming out of the combines. So you know.
Yes, I heard that. I read that earlier.
Hey, listen to me. Hey, JJ, you mean Norm Nixon, eh? Norman didn't play for the Lakers, but Norm Nixon did.
Norm Nixon did.
I know you're talking about Storm and Norman Nixon, who we traded to the Clippers for the draft rights to Byron Scott. But yeah, that's Norm Nixon you're talking about. Storm and Norman, who was married to Debbie Allen. Might still be married to Debbie Allen. All right, so Purdy, let's check out our picks, all brought to you, of course, by the Allen Game. We'll get to the picks, we'll take the commercial break, and once we take the commercial break, Rich Eisen will be taking us on. Correct, Mr. Producer? That's how we're going to do it. So, we're going to NBA tonight, Purdy. You got anybody in particular you like in women's college basketball tonight? Any NCAA action that we might see?
No, there's no women's game tonight because all the tournaments beginning, I think, tomorrow or the day after.
Awesome.
There are two key NCAA game, Duke and North Carolina State and Baylor and Texas. They two key games for both teams in terms of the ACC and the Big 12 tournaments.
Yep, Duke and NC State tonight, Jacksonville and Kennesaw State, but they got plenty of games tonight. Florida, Gulf Coast, and Queens. Yes, I like some of these games, boy. I'm going to do my due diligence tonight.
Yeah. But Duke has really been playing some good ball. I hate Duke, but they've been playing some good ball.
I hate Duke, too. I can't stand them. All right, let's do NBA party. Here we go. Six big games in the NBA tonight. The Grizzlies on the road against the Nets. The Nets are a 10-point favorite.
Ooh, I don't trust that.
I might take the Grizzlies in the 10 points.
I'll take.
I think Brooklyn may win the game, but if I'm going with Brooklyn, I go in Brooklyn in the money line.
Yeah, I'll take the Grizzlies in the points.
Clippers against the Bucks. The Bucks are a 4-point favorite. I think the Bucks win by 4 at home.
All right. Yeah.
They do for a breakout. They do for a good game. They do to make.
The last couple of games, they've not been bad.
You got the Timberwolves, 14.5-point favorites at home against the Trailblazers. That's a whole lot of points for a Timberwolves team that ain't been gelling recently lately. I'll take the Timberwolves and the money line on that one, but that's about it.
Yeah, I agree.
Washington against the Jazz. The Jazz 5-point favorites at home. I don't even want
to take
the Jazz on the money line. Kings 6.5-point favorites at home against the Bulls.
I take the Kings on the money line too.
I like the Kings on the money line and possibly the over of 229. And then you got the Thunder, only 2-point favorites against the Lakers in LA.
That's interesting. That is interesting.
I might have to take the Thunder to win this game because I think they're going to win this game.
And if you can take the Thunder in the spread.
-2, correct.
Yeah.
And this. Oh, Lord, you getting ready to start me up here, Texter. Let's give Caitlin Clark her props too, please. Ever since that ghetto angel Reese tried to show her up, Caitlin was making moves. Well, that ghetto girl, Angel Reese, did show her up. She beat her in the finals and let her know she couldn't see her.
But y'all, see, let me tell you what they don't understand. Ain't nobody talk, you don't talk about Angel Reese. Caitlin Clark could talk more trash than Angel Reese.
But hold on, buddy, this texter.
Because Caitlin was talking trash to her all game.
And listen, this texter ain't your boy. There's somebody else. And this one for you, obviously, buddy. Ain't a man anyhow.
That's a pie. Watch him out. Watch him out. That's one of the prettiest girls in basketball.
Yeah, I text. I don't know. Boy, you going on a limb there. Pearly, swear by Angel Reese.
Listen to me. Angel Reese, there are two players in NCAA women basketball who talk the most trash. Caitlin Clark, number one. Angel Reese, number two. Both of them talk trash, and both of them back up their trash talking. But Caitlin Clark was all over Angel Reese in that first half. Angel didn't get back at this in the fourth quarter when LSU pulled out and started doing the ring thing to her. So that don't go there talking about, watch yourself, watch yourself. Plus, through NIN, Angel Reese making far more money than Caitlin Clark.
All right, you've done what you needed to do, Purdy. You've vindicated Angel Reese. And now we're going to go to the break, and we'll do it again tomorrow, man. Enjoy your sports tonight, man.
I will.
Be safe.
She put up a double-double last night. All right, there you go.
All right, move side. Let it go, Pearly. Let it go. We're going to the break. Flip side of the break. Rich Eisen taking us home.
Play with Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Play with Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamian's voice guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We can make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Just because they were cheap, Keisha bought things that she really didn't want. Hungry for deals? Let KFC satisfy your cravings before you do something crazy. Get the new Kentucky Crunch Sandwich with a juicy KFC chicken filet, fresh lettuce, and the perfect amount of mayo topped with a fluffy for just $5.75. Order your new favorite sandwich online with Messenger or WhatsApp Hi to 557-3663 to start your KFC order today. KFC knows value. It's finger-licking good.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time Cleveland Clinic. Your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast. You need more locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Refined style with elegant taste. The fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then fine threads is your place. If you wanna look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video. Wanna step out and look great? Then fine threads is your place. Refined style with elegant taste. Then fine threads is your place. Is your place.
Just because they were on sale, Max bought things that he and his friend really didn't need. Hungry for deals? Let KFC satisfy your cravings before you do something crazy. Get a KFC 6-piece value deal with 6 pieces of juicy fried chicken, 3 orders of crispy fries, and 3 buttery biscuits, all for only $20. Order your new favorite deal online with Messenger or WhatsApp high to 557-3663 to start your KFC order today. Nobody does value like KFC, and it's finger-licking good.
This is where this is where
I'm ready.
Okay. Let me give it the proper setup here.
Come on.
Let me give it the proper setup here. Boy, do people love to talk at the combine. And this is the chattiest of the cathiest groups of people. Because they're all there. They're all there. Scouts and assistants and this and that. And you see them in a bar. You see them in a street. You see them in a lobby.
They can and take
it, you know, and after like, hey, when the conversation usually goes, hey, when'd you get here? Oh, when are you leaving? How long are you here for? People ask me like how long I'm here for. I'm like, I turn the lights off here, man.
I'm here till it's over.
It's all right. But boy, do people love to tell you what's going on, what they've heard, to see, have you heard the same thing? Can you believe what I've heard? So a lot gets poured into my ear gate.
Yes.
And normally I don't deal in rumor, but you guys want it so badly, I'm blaming it on you.
So badly.
I place my Medill School of Journalism degree from the esteemed Institution of Higher Learning, Northwestern University. I place it aside, and I give you my top 5 rumors that I've heard at the Combine. Here is my latest version of it. Hit it.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top 5.
All righty then. Here we go. Number 5 on the list involves the Minnesota Vikings, who, as you know, are sitting on the clock, 11th overall. Kirk Cousins is going to be a free agent unless they get a deal done. And the coach, Kevin O'Connell, in our booth this weekend, and I asked him, it's funny, he said to me the day before when I saw him, he goes, you get one Kirk Cousins question. Did I tell you this on the air?
Yeah.
Okay. You get one Kirk Cousins question. So my question was, what are you willing to share? Where do things stand right now? And he was very honest. He said he thinks that Cousins is a process guy, and he's going to go through the process of free agency. And so before he said that, I heard this rumor that a possible salve at quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings is a native of the state, and his name is Trey Lance.
Whoa!
Trey Lance is a possible solve for the Vikings. Now, the Cowboys picked up, kept him on as the roster long enough for him to get a bonus. So they're paying the money to keep him. And they, as you know, got him for a 5. I'm just wondering if the Vikings flip him a 3, a Friday night pick. Do they go ahead and do that?
Whoa.
That Trey Lance, as we all know, you also have to pick up a 5th-year option. I don't...
Wow.
That a possibility out there, kids from the state, as we all know, and that might be an answer. And see what he's got. And go to work and say, how does Justin Jefferson sound to you? Because they're going to give him the bag. That's for sure. So that's number 5 on my top 5 rumors that I heard at the combine. Number 4 involves the quarterback depth chart in the draft. And I'll just flat out tell you, Jaden Daniels is QB2 in this draft.
Ooh.
That's it. And the reasoning I keep hearing about it is him versus Drake May. And I know we're going to hear Orlovsky come up later, and I think he thinks he's QB1. There's a few people who think he's QB1.
Slow down.
I hear you. But the reason why he's above Drake May and the reason why you're hearing him as QB1 is every defensive coordinator that you or defensive coach that you come across at the combine says this is the nightmare fuel when you're trying to stop a quarterback. And all you would hear from defensive coach and look this kid on, worst nightmare for them prepping and playing all year. And so you'll hear Drake May this and what he can do that. I've been told that's a bunch of cheese you shouldn't take. That's QB2. That may be your Washington Commanders.
Great.
Kid.
I'll take Drake May.
Okay.
All day.
Number three. This one's for you, Chris Brockman. I heard this because you have been somewhat like me. You're a little bit more verbal than me, stridently, when it comes to Daniel Jones. And you have heard Joe Shane and the coach sit there multiple times saying they have full confidence in Daniel Jones to be the starting quarterback. There was a viral video, I believe, of Joe Shane being on a live radio or podcast for the Giants.
Uh-oh.
And a fan calling in basically saying, what do you see in this guy? And he had to sit there and go through it, and he was a total pro about it, and he and he told him what he sees in the guy.
Okay.
Number three of the combine is the Giants are absolutely done with Daniel Jones.
Wow.
Done.
Wow. Absolutely done.
Done. Might have to play him this year.
Whoa.
But that ain't it. And the words I heard at the combine multiple times, two words were buyer's remorse.
Oh, yeah.
But they have to say what they say publicly. Now, I may be way off, and this may be patently unfair. But guess what? I've got an equal opportunity rumor from the NFC East, number two. On this list, and move the music just for this.
Oh man, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay, T.J. Jefferson.
Oh, come on.
We have been talking for weeks since Jerry Jones said at the Senior Bowl that they're going to go all in this year in the Metroplex, and everybody's wondering what's the definition of all in. In case you're somewhat forgetful or you hadn't heard the soundbite, I have it, and here it is. Replay it.
I would anticipate, with looking ahead at our key contracts that we'd like to address, we'll be all in. I would anticipate we'll be all in at the end of this year.
Is that doing something differently than you had in the past in that respect?
Well, it will be, it will be going all in on different people than you've done in the past.
Okay.
We'll be going all in. We've seen some things out of some of the players that, and yes, I would say that you will see us this coming year not building for the future.
Okay.
Is the best way I would say it.
So we heard that, and I said, okay, I hear you, Jerry. This is great, because Derrick Henry's sitting out there, and I thought that's what he means by going all in on certain players that you wouldn't normally think the Cowboys would go all in on, because they haven't done that, right? Let's go out and add this star free agent and that star free agent. You want DeAndre Hopkins, you want D-Hop there in the worst way. You start paying for those guys despite the fact that they're, you know, getting longer in the tooth. That's what I thought he meant by all in, right? That's what we were talking about. But to do that, you have to redo Dak's contract to get the cap room in order to add such players like that. Because Dak is $59.45 million on the cap contract that they have done with him, with no opportunity to franchise tag him next year or trade him. Last year of his contract, you can't franchise tag him next year. You can't trade him. So he's yours. The whole concept is they're going to have to redo his contract in order to go all in.
Mm-hmm.
The rumor I heard from multiple people at the combine is his definition of all in is to make Dak play out his walk year and not extend him at all and just eat the cap hit.
Wow.
And the free agents that they might go get aren't the big name guys that you think, because they won't be able to afford him. And then I heard this rumor early on in the combine, and then Ian Rappaport, who's on an hour number three, says Tyron Smith is going to be let go. This is what he means by all in. He means, hey, Dak, you haven't won a playoff game except, you know, a couple around here. Last year was so dreadful. Played out. And I'll eat the 59 near 60 million bucks. And if you do what I hope you do, hold me over a barrel because you think he's going to take less than 59 million bucks to stay put? I was just gobsmacked when I heard that. Now, listen to the soundbite again and tell me if you think this rumor is somewhat spot on. And this is how he's referring to it back at the Senior Bowl. Hit it.
I would anticipate, with looking ahead at our key contracts that we'd like to address, we'll be all in. I would anticipate we'll be all in at the end of this year.
Is that doing something differently than you had in the past in that respect?
Well, it will be, it will be going all in on different people than you've done in the past.
Okay.
Mm. We'll be going all in. We've seen some things out of some of the players that we want to be all in on. Okay. And yes, I would say that you will see us this coming year not building for the future. Okay. Is the best way I would say it.
And I thought not building for the future meant let's get Derrick Henry in for 1 year and let's get this guy in for 1 year and that guy in for 1 year and build some huge team. No, that's not the way I'm hearing it. And he said this week to the beat reporters that it's entirely possible he's going to let Dak play it out. He said it this week. What we do there or don't do, I couldn't say it this time, but the main thing is he's going to be our quarterback. Now, there's time. Right between now and the new league year to extend him and not do what I'm hearing. You know, there's time, but there's also the concept that he's where the Cowboys are putting it out there for enough people to start telling in my ear to essentially say this is a negotiating posturing position. That's what I'm hearing.
Wow.
How about them? Apples. Because again, if Dak does what you're hoping, as he said, we've seen some things out of players here. What are the things? Not winning playoff games is what I think he's referring to. And that makes sense when Jimmy Johnson said after the Cowboys went out and stuck with Mike McCarthy. Remember he said on a local radio station that Jerry called him up?
Yeah.
Because he needed to make decisions on, he mentioned three people. Dan Quinn, Mike McCarthy, and Dak. I think this is the answer. This is what he means by going all in. And I'll tell you what, if it works out for Dak, the only haircut he's going to be taking in Dallas is the one that's going viral right now. That one. We have on the screen. How about them apples?
Wow.
Hit it, Mike. Let's finish up this top five rumors I've heard at the Combine. Number one, straight up, the Bears have one intention and one intention only, and that's to draft Caleb Williams, trade Justin Fields. Can't get it out of them directly, but that's the general sense around the entire combine. And an anticlimactic ending after I put the Cowboys there at number two. But this thing's done. What I'm hearing, it's only a matter of time. Interestingly enough, Breer's reporting that the Bears wanted Caleb in Chicago tomorrow.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.